Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 28 of the Tuesday Night Comics Podcast, brought to you by TuesdayNightMovies.com. I am Billy, and with me, as always, is Dave.
Hey guys!
And we have a very special treat for you. We have Nick Doyle back on the podcast.
Hi!
Dave's filling that 1 week.
Yeah!
That one time.
Yeah. This is your second time, right?
And
yes.
The other special thing is that we're not at our regular places. We were at the Tuesday Night Movies beach house in the Outer Banks. It's like the nerdiest. Imagine the MTV beach house, just as many scantily clad babes, but much nerdier.
That's a lot. I'm just wearing a Speedo.
We're all in seats and Speedos.
Yeah, there has been talk of magic cards, there's been talk of comics, we've been playing Catan nonstop. It is, this house is nerd central, and it's the happiest place on earth. How's everybody doing out there in the studio audience today? We do have a studio audience. That's the other new thing about the podcast.
Just for today.
Only for today. Possibly if we record down here for next week, we might have two studio audiences. The people in the studio, The people in the studio audience are looking at me like, no.
No, thank you.
I mean, we could rotate it out. We could get a whole new studio audience.
Oh, that is true.
Yeah.
We could pay people off the street.
Oh, well, let's not get crazy, Nick. Okay, so we're going to be talking about new comics that are coming out this Wednesday, July 16th. And, Nick, anything catch your eye?
Well, I'm scrolling down the list, and there are only a couple of things that have caught my eye. One of them is Wicked and the Divine number 2.
Now, do you call it Wicked and the Divine? I call it Wicked plus the Divine.
I call it and.
Interesting. Mm. I noticed on Kieran Gillen's Tumblr, they had originally thought about titling it, coming out with two covers like they do every month, with one cover that said The Wicked and the other cover that said The Divine, and each would have the same story inside it, and then they realized that that was a terrible idea because you're just making comic book stores owners' jobs harder when people are coming in and they're like,
what?
Wait, do I want the Wicked or do I want the Divine?
That's even confusing the way you're explaining that.
Yeah, okay. That might be my fault.
No, I just think it's a bad idea.
Yeah, well, they were talked out of it. I like that it looks like the cover to number 2 is a picture of Kieran Gillen. At least what they have up on the website that I'm looking at right now.
Yeah.
With the David Bowie makeup on his face.
So, have you guys been reading that? I haven't checked it out yet.
I read the first issue twice. I liked it a lot.
The colorist Matt Wilson was at Heroes Con, so I picked up the first issue from him.
Hmm. And he and Chip Zardsky from Sex Criminals was at Heroes Con too, right?
Yes, they actually had a whole Matt Fraction was there too, so had a whole Sex Criminals panel that was awesome, and people got engaged at it.
Oh, yeah, I remember you telling me about that.
Wow. Did it stop time at all?
Well, that was they did this thing where the artist made a request to where they, like, he wanted to film them, and he was going to go in afterwards and Photoshop, like, all the effects, so he asked the audience to, like, not move.
That's cool.
While they ran around the room, but right. It was all an elaborate plot so the guy could propose to his lady friend.
Oh, well, that's pretty awesome.
So, like, they ran around a little bit and kind of messed up people's hair and, like, pulled stuff out of their bags and stuff, and then he went up on the little stage and proposed to her. And I'm sitting there next to my wife, and we're, like, not sure if we're still supposed to not move, but, like, you can hear her, like, sniffling because this guy's totally proposing to his girlfriend.
Right.
That's what happens.
Wow.
That's what chicks do.
Yeah.
That's what ladies do.
Right, studio audience?
Crickets. Well, Chip Zdarsky, the artist on Sex Criminals, is the one who did the Kieran Gillen variant cover for Sex and the Divine number 2.
Wicked in the Divine.
Wicked in the Divine. What did I say? Sexing? I haven't been drinking pina coladas today. Beach House, everyone. Yeah.
Beach House 2012.
So, what's cool about this series... What's cool about this series, too, is that Kieran Gillen, on his Tumblr, puts in this whole writer's commentary and basically walks through every page of the book and what was going through his mind as he was writing it, and also what the different symbolisms are in the in the various panels. Yeah, it's really, really cool. I like reading. I like his writing a lot. But I also like it for the bonus that he does that, it seems, for every book that he works on.
Yeah.
Journey into Mystery was heavily annotated on his...
Oh, really?
On his Tumblr, yeah.
I might have liked Journey into Mystery better if I had read that. Yeah. Because I didn't really care for the first trade, and I never kept up with it. I found it slightly boring. I do, like, one of the things I do love sometimes more... then the actual comic itself is Grant Morrison talking about comics.
Okay.
And so, like, sometimes when he talks about his comics, I'm like, whoa, I love that idea. But there's also, like, two different levels of enjoyment. Like, that first read that you do and you go, okay, I got this, this, and this from it. And then you see what the writer put into it. And sometimes you get something out of their work they didn't know they put in. Or,
right.
Like, sometimes it's something completely different. And I think it's pretty awesome that he's annotating it himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Matt Fraction did that for Hawkeye for a little while, and then kind of, and the FF books he was writing, but then kind of fell off.
Oh, really?
Doing that, yeah.
Oh, I wish I had known about that, because I love his Hawkeye series.
I just read that, I guess, there are like three left before he's done.
Oh, wait, wow. Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, I didn't know he had a definitive finish.
That stinks.
Wow. I'm not going to be reading any Arrow Shooting Heroes then, because Jeff Lemire's leaving Green Arrow too.
Well, so. I was thinking, so he's got Casanova that's going to start back up, and he's got Sex Criminals, mm-hmm. and he's got another book called Odyssey that is a sort of an adaptation of Homer's The Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Sex Criminals kind of blowing up the way that it has sort of changed his
priorities.
What he can do in his career, I think this is like, as far unless they announce something new, like Hawkeye is it for Marvel for a little bit.
Yeah, wow. And that's similar to Ed Brubaker. Once he finished up on Captain America, just went straight into his Image work and is only doing creator owned stuff right now.
Have you guys read Casanova?
Yes, it's one of my favorite books.
I haven't. I've only read the first trade, and then. He kind of stopped a little, and I was waiting for a second trade, and I saw that they were doing it in color, and it kind of bummed me out, because I loved that the whole series was printed in a duotone, and I thought it was like a really clever way to with storytelling, and I was like, I don't want to read this in color now.
Well, the thing is that was, the color is even though it becomes full color, it's really sort of muted, but it's really great, and he actually brought that up at Heroes Con. There was a panel where him and his wife Kelly Sue DeConnick were on. It was Image writers or whatever, and they were talking about one of his other books, but he actually said at first she was really hesitant about it when he said I'm gonna make this in color and re-release it, and he's like, yeah, she came up to me and was like, did you know that this was gonna look this good? And he was like, I did, I just didn't know how to tell you.
Ah,
wow.
But yeah, I mean, but Casanova is probably, I don't know, it was my favorite book of his that he's written, but Sex Criminals in Our House is pretty much our favorite thing.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of his run on Iron Fist, and Hawkeye is just my favorite comic book on the stands right now. It's one of the, what seems to be many Marvel books these days, where they take a B-level hero and are just doing awesome things with it, like Charles Soule's She-Hulk and the Ms. Marvel series.
Mm-hmm.
And, even, I guess, I wouldn't call Daredevil an A-lister. He's always been, on the border of A-list and B-list, but...
Chris Somni.
Yeah, Chris Somni, man. I really hope that if he and Mark Waid ever wrap up Daredevil, that he moves directly into Spider-Man, because he is just one of my favorite artists right now.
I believe he did do a run on Spider-Man.
He did, yeah. But his art is just so beautiful.
I think he's grown leaps and bounds since actually that Spider-Man run that he did.
It's funny how self-deprecating he is, too, because he inks all his own stuff. And I remember one time on Instagram, he was like, oh, just think how good this would look if I got, a decent inker. And I was like, dude, you have to stop insulting yourself.
Yeah.
Because his work is just amazing. Even just the... his warm-up sketches, he'll, post one of those a day, and eventually he tends to sell them in, big batches on his site.
Cool.
I've got a couple of them.
Yeah, I don't have any, because I think I overslept that day.
I bought a little, he did a little Batman, like 1939 style Batman that I bought when he did one of those.
I remember that.
And at HeroesCon, Matt Wilson, the colorist, he was doing color commissions.
Oh, nice.
And so I got him to color that.
That's really cool.
That piece. And then he posted it on the internet, and Chris Domney like flipped out.
Yeah, there were. It looked great. There was a colorist at Special Edition NYC. When I got Ryan Stegman to do a Spider-Man sketch for me, I forget who the colorist was, but he was like...
He was doing his picture, like, he was coloring some of his stuff, too, because he was also at Heroes
Con. Oh, Stegman?
Yeah.
I wonder if Matthew Wilson was the guy he was talking about, if he was also at Special Edition NYC. I'm not sure. Because he was saying, he's like, oh, this guy, you know, colors a lot of, like, my convention sketches, and he does awesome work. You're like, see if he's doing it. And I ended up not being able to find him, but...
He was right next to Cliff Chang, and he was coloring, like, all of his... I saw a ton of commissions
on that's awesome.
That he was just, like, passing over to him. Because I guess he also colored Wonder Woman for them. Oh, he was the colorist on Wonder Woman, so I think he was literally, like, handing them over to him.
That's awesome. That's really, really cool. Yeah, and that's another series that's wrapping up soon and going to be replaced by David Finch and his wife.
Oh, yeah. DC's making some horrible changes, and that is definitely one of them. Their new solicits just came out on Monday, and that is definitely one of them. And then Deathstroke written by and drawn by Tony Daniel. I'm out!
I didn't realize that they were still hiring, man.
Yeah, DC is, you know, with the exception, like, DC has some artists there who I absolutely love. Well, we all know how big of an Ivan Reis fan I am, Joe Prada fan I am, but they seem to hire the other modern artists that are in their roster, guys that books I don't want to read, and then their writers, like, you know, with the exception of Brian Azzarello and Scott Snyder and a few others, are either guys from the 90s whose comics I really don't want to read.
Or people who are leaving.
Yeah, or people who are leaving.
I mean, they lost James Robinson. We were just talking about what went down with Nightwing and... why am I blanking on his name?
Who just finished writing Nightwing, Nick? We saw him... Kyle
Higgins.
Kyle Higgins.
Yeah. Right, and he was... Yeah, so there's a lot of people just bailing on DC and... it sounds like a lot of editorial edict kind of stuff that just kind of sucks. It doesn't seem like a very creative place right now. It seems like they're moving people around and just trying to keep things fresh, but it's not creatively fresh. It's just like new creators on new stories just for the sake of moving creators around, it seems like, in a lot of places.
If your pseudo-90s based publishing strategy can't keep Rob Liefeld happy to where he like flips out on the internet, then there's something obviously wrong.
That's really funny. That's both a good point and a really funny point. DC is publishing a book this week, though, that I'm very interested in, and that is Harley Quinn Invades Comic-Con International San Diego number 1. Just based on that premise alone, and on the cover where it's Harley Quinn running with a giant mallet and hitting a bunch of cosplayers dressed as Batman, Ra's al Ghul, Joker, etc. I don't think I'm going to be able to turn down this comic even with its $5 price tag. And it's a Harley Quinn comic, so it's Amanda Conner and Jimmy Palmiotti writing it, and Amanda Conner doing the art, which.
I think it's Amanda Conner who sells it. I mean, she really... I mean, I think Jimmy Palmiotti and Justin Gray are serviceable writers. I don't think Justin Gray is a co-writer on this,
though. No.
But I think Amanda Conner's storytelling in her art really elevates them. And that's how I always felt with the Jonah Hex books.
Okay.
With Jimmy Palmiotti and Justin Gray, that they were serviceable, but when you had an amazing artist in there, it really elevated their scripts. And I don't... It's always hard to tell if it's the writing or if it's, like, the artist that is, like, elevating it. Like, you know, like, is it just that the other artists weren't...
getting the script correctly?
Right.
Or is it that another artist is adding to the script and
exactly.
fixing
and
things?
It's really hard to tell without seeing scripts and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Who added what and all that stuff. DC also has Robin Rises Omega number 1. By Peter Tomasi and Andy Kubert.
Now this is... Damien might be coming back, right?
It's possible, yeah. So, when Damian died, the Batman and Robin series that was written by Peter Tomasi turned to a Batman and comic book where he would team up with another hero every week, and basically it turned into a
Brave and the Bold.
It's a Brave and the Bold, but it was all about Batman trying to bring Damian back to life, because Damian was grown pretty much in a test tube. So you see him teaming with Aquaman and Wonder Woman, and Frankenstein was one of the most interesting ones, because right. Frankenstein is a body brought back to life.
Yeah, I thought Two-Face was a really cool one, just because it's Batman teaming up with Harvey Dent, who he formerly teamed up with before he became Two-Face, you know, in the courtroom, and now is teaming up with him, who's now a bat villain.
Right. And but this is where that storyline culminates. Okay. And I believe that Batman and Robin will go back to Batman and Robin after this miniseries is over. And you won't know. They're not saying who Robin will be after this, but he's going to get a Robin again. So.
It's weird that it's Robin Rises Omega number one. Because there wasn't a Robin Rises Alpha already, right? Like, it's usually when they do the comic companies do the Alpha Omega to like bookend a series, the Omega is the second.
I wonder if they're saying this is the last Robin.
Oh, I see. So it's that interesting. In that case, I don't like their syntax.
Another thing that's interesting and still along the lines of Robins is they are relaunching Teen Titans.
Yes.
And it's written by Will Pfeiffer, and it's drawn by Kenneth Rockefeller. And I wasn't really too intrigued with the new book, because it just looks like the old book. But Will Pfeiffer is a good writer, and I do like Kenneth Rockefeller. His work's been in Superman, like pre-Flashpoint. And Will Pfeiffer sounds like he's got an interesting take on these characters. And actually, this week I read the new Suicide Squad, which they had just canceled the old Suicide Squad like a month ago. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, is this going to be it looks pretty much like the same Suicide Squad. And it was a really good book. I really dug the writing. The art was serviceable. It wasn't the best. And so now I'm like, maybe I'll give this Teen Titans number one a whirl.
Mm.
Because it's got to be better than, what's his face?
It's got to be better than what's
his face. Scott Lobdell's running on.
Scott Lobdell, yeah.
Well, it's got to be better than what's his face.
Yeah, exactly.
Although, I did just see something crazy.
What's that?
Well, so there's a, like they did last year, they are doing the Batman, a celebration of 75 years, like book. They did one for Superman and Lois Lane last year.
I like that, but you said just like last year, they're like, doing that Batman.
Well, but if you look, they are the writer is listed as Bill Finger, which is like one of the few times that officially starting to give him credit for creating everything.
About Batman.
And Bob Kane is awful.
Huh.
But he's listed as artist along with other people, but that's a kind of a big deal.
That is a big deal.
Yeah, it really is amazing how it's always Batman created by Bob Kane.
It was like, in his contract.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, smart guy.
He's the smartest, worstest guy ever.
Yeah.
He is everything that's wrong with the work-for-hire system.
The greatest.
Well, not everything.
The greatest tombstone of all time.
What's his tombstone say?
Just Google it. I can't do it justice.
I'm gonna have to Google this.
At your leisure.
No, I'm gonna Google
it. Please do it now, Billy. Do it now.
Please do it right now.
Well, we're talking about it. It seems. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
It's like the Ten Commandments.
It almost is like the Ten Commandments.
I'm gonna have to.
There is almost two.
It looks like two tablets.
It is. It's like a book. It's a book on his tombstone, and talks about how.
So it's got the bat signal on
the
it.
The Lord.
And it says Robert Kane, aka Bob Kane. I don't even know if I should read this. It's so long.
I like how he says Robert Kane, aka Bob Kane. Like nobody knows that Bob is short for Robert.
Yeah. You'd be surprised how many people I've met who are very, very surprised that Billy is short for William.
Well, this is true. There's a lot of people who have asked me, is your full name David?
Really?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, I'm like,
is your full name David?
Well, we never got an answer on that one. Obviously
it
not.
Might be.
Okay, so Bob Kane's tombstone reads, God bestowed a dream upon Bob Kane. Dave lasted three words into... Dave lasted five words into the tombstone. Blessed with divine inspiration and a rich imagination, Bob created a legacy known as Batman. Introduced in a May 1939 comic book, Batman grew from a tiny acorn into an American icon. A hand of God creation. Batman...
In quotation marks.
Yes, a hand of God is in quotation marks there. A hand of God creation. Batman,
is that a masturbation joke?
Batman and his world... I'm looking at an unclear image. Batman and his world personify the eternal struggle of good versus evil, with God's laws prevailing in the end. Bob Kane, Bruce Wayne, Batman, they are one and the same. Bob infused his dual identity character with his own attributes: goodness, kindness, compassion, sensitivity, generosity, intelligence, integrity, courage, purity of spirit, a love of all mankind.
And great lawyers.
Batman is known as the Dark Knight, in quotation marks. But through his deeds, he walks in the light of a higher power, as did his creator, Bob Kane. I'm guessing the dash there is Bill Finger.
yeah, that should be in...
Beloved...
Beloved
husband, father, grandfather, in loving memory. I hate to speak ill of the dead, but wow.
Yeah, it's the worst.
That's pretty fucking amazing.
I think that might be the image for this podcast. This one, so I'm going to have to keep that.
I can't believe you didn't know about that.
I think I have seen that tombstone before and just totally forgot about it. But that really is crazy. Yeah. Not to be confused with this old Superman cover that has Superman standing on at the tombstone for Lois Lane, beloved wife of Superman, devoted mother of Lonnie, 1938 to 1969.
Wow.
Superman number 215, featuring a great imaginary novel, Superman's Tragic Marriage. And while Superman stands over Lois Lane's grave, his daughter says, Daddy, will we ever see Mommy again?
That's awful.
Saddest comic book cover ever.
Worst.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, now jumping down to Marvel and away from Tombstones, Original Sin number 6 comes out. Dave and I have been reading this. Original Sin, it's really good. Once it's out on trade, I definitely recommend reading it.
Yeah, I think it'll read really well in trade. I was a huge fan of this last issue because I think...
I liked it a lot.
Yeah. I think I liked the idea, but I felt like it didn't need a whole issue devoted to
right.
it. But overall, the story is great. And I don't think I would feel that way in trade. Like, I think I would be like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, this was... Yeah. You're just reading through it.
Yeah.
Right. And that's... I don't remember if Original Sin is 7 issues or 8 issues, but we are...
I think it's 7.
Okay, so this is the penultimate issue then. And I really am loving this title. It's a fun summer read.
And great art.
And one... Yeah, Mike Diodato.
Oh, okay.
And this is, I would say, the best art of his career. Like, he's definitely grown since his days of redesigning Thor's costume in the late 90s.
And it's Hickman, right?
No, it's Jason Aaron.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Jason...
It reads, like...
Reads very Hickman-ish.
Well, it just sounded like the premise.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's very true. I can definitely see that. And also for Marvel, we have two of my favorite Marvel comics coming out this week. She-Hulk by Charles Soule, though we do get another fill-in artist. Javier Pulido is not doing the art. It's Ronald Wimberly.
Oh.
Who I'm not familiar with.
Unless
he did the last issue too, which I did not enjoy the art on.
I feel like that name is like an old like 90s villain artist sort of guy, like G.I. Joe or something. I might be wrong.
Yeah.
So but like really like...
He did an issue of Lucifer. He did Occupy Comics, an issue of Occupy Comics. An issue of...
Not dated at
an
all.
An issue of... A very old issue of Swamp Thing too.
Okay.
So yeah, it sounds like he's a fill-in guy.
Yeah, so that's possible.
And then we also have Silver Surfer by Dan Slott and Mike Allred. Nick, I assume you're reading this.
I haven't yet.
Are you kidding?
I know, I still...
Nick, you
love Kirby.
I love Kirby and I love Mike Allred.
Allred is like channeling his inner Kirby.
I've been really like... I've been sort of like, I don't know, not assholey, but really like adamantly creator owned stuff lately.
Okay.
And so make an exception for this series. I should read Silver Surfer, and I keep meaning to, but also the store where I live isn't the best, and so they don't have them. And I don't know. I haven't done it. I need to because I love Mike Allred so much.
Well, the trade should be out sooner rather than later, I'm guessing. Marvel's always very fast to put things in trade.
Yeah.
So this is the fourth issue, and I think the Guardians of the Galaxy might be in this. Yeah.
What? Just in time for their soon-to-be hit film?
Yeah.
Hitting theaters August 1st?
I'm not sure the release date is. All I know is that I'm super excited for it.
One of those. First or the 8th. Those are the two Fridays. Yeah.
I love Spider-Man, and I haven't seen Amazing Spider-Man 2 yet, but I cannot wait for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Spider-Man 2 is pretty good.
Oh, I thought you said it was pretty not good.
No, I liked it. Okay.
I was meh on it. Sarah and I went to see it, and I feel like they could have left out the Rhino.
Well, I think they could have left out the Rhino. I also kind of...
I love me some Paul Giamatti.
Leave out Electro. But, but the thing is that Andrew Garfield's really good at... being Spider-Man, and Emma Stone's
he's great
that she does all the time ever, so...
it was too long, too. Like
It was too long.
It was definitely... It was 2.5 hours, almost.
If I was a nerd that thought letter-writing campaigns were anything, I would start a letter-writing campaign trying to get them to talk Emma Stone into dyeing her hair red so she can be Mary Jane in the third
one. Yeah, I think when she was announced, everyone was like, she's the perfect Mary Jane! They're like, she's Emma Watson!
Emma Watson.
Quincy.
That's who they need to get for MJ.
I will take Emma Watson as at least a Betty Brant.
That could be good.
Doctor Strange and the Hulk are going to be in this issue, Silver Surfer.
So the Defenders.
Can you say Defenders Reunion?
And also Ms. Marvel's coming out this week.
Oh, I didn't notice that. So that's all three of my favorite Marvel series right now are coming out this week.
Have you read Ms. Marvel?
I haven't.
The art is
phenomenal in it.
It's funny. When I was at Special Edition NYC, I went to a panel with Mike Allred and Kurt Busiek where they were speaking. And it was creator-owned comics versus corporate-owned comics. And the panel I thought would have been much better attended if they had named it "Come Listen to Mike Allred Talk About Madman and Kurt Busiek Talk About Astro City." But the two of them have followed an interesting career path in that Kurt Busiek started as a corporate guy and now only does Astro City, which is creator-owned, and Mike Allred started out at Tundra doing Madman and now works for both the big two companies because he's doing Silver Surfer and doing all those Batman 66 covers for the line-wide Batman 66 variant cover thing they're doing. But I was talking to the guy who ran the panel afterwards, and we were talking about Silver Surfer, and he's like, yeah, but when you're... shouldn't you just be, like, buying these guys, like, creator-owned books instead? And I was like, yeah, I understand that, but at the same time, I'd... like, not that I'd rather read their corporate-owned stuff, but... with a team of Dan Slott and Mike Allred doing Silver Surfer, I was like, I can't turn that down. You know, that's just so good.
Well, I think there's something... you were making the joke about DC and they're taking a 90s philosophy to doing comics, and that was very much Marvel's 90s philosophy.
Yeah.
And I think in the late 90s, DC had this very independent type of creator, let the creators run free and do their thing. And you got awesome things like Starman, you got Major Bummer, right. Hitman, you got all these really cool ideas that made DC awesome at that time. And not a lot of people were reading comics at the time, which is a shame, but they're stories that have lasted. And Marvel has that same feeling right now.
Yeah.
Like with Ms. Marvel, with Silver Surfer, like... and I think
a lot of
when
DC...
it comes down to it, I'm just going to read good comics.
Yeah, and it, part of it, though, and that's the problem with this, is that, I usually, I'm not buying the Bendis, Guardians of the Galaxy, but I'll buy Powers, or I'll buy, United States of Murder Incorporated.
So I'm if loving there's, like, United States of Murder, so by good, the way.
But if there's, another option, I'll take it.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a Madman book coming up soon. He said it's like a Madman in 3D.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just a one shot or something. But I need to just get those because you know how Billy, I know we've done the thing when we've gone to New York Comic Con where we will walk past the Tomorrow's booth and be like, we'll look through some and be like, we'll be back. And then we never do. I finally went back and got a couple of the Modern Master books at the end, one of was the Mike Allred one, which I read in like an hour. And it was just, I don't know, he's just the best. Like, I'm tempted to buy the book where he's like illustrating the Book of Mormon, for God's sake.
Oh, really?
Like, a couple years ago, he started a series, like, it was when he was doing like Atomics and Mad Men, he started, it was called The Golden Plates.
Okay.
And it's like this, he says...
Is he a Mormon?
I think his family, like his parents were, and then he went through a thing, like his dad passed away and he started reading all this stuff. Mm. And I don't think he is a Mormon, but I think he was like,
he has like a connection to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he started working on this thing, and he's like, we put out like two or three of them, and then we realized we had to like pay bills. So that's what led to like X-Force. So like all these, so like then he, but it's one of those things, he's like, you know, one day, like maybe 20 years from now, there'll be like X number of books, and that'll be like the whole thing. But he's not like rushing it. It's just this thing that he was doing. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, I have no interest in that at all.
But you might still buy it.
At a certain point, I'll run out of things of his to buy, so I'll have to.
Well, I never read Mad Men, and
and Nick is now choking you. This has gotten really awkward.
Well, it's one of those things where I was like, I never looked like a super long series, like I was like, I don't know where to find these, and they're hard to find.
It's something you jump into at like any point, though.
You really can. They're so fun.
And we were talking earlier off air about how I'm a completist. I got to start at the beginning, like even if it's a writer, I want to start at the beginning. And so, Comixology had a sale, and they had every Madman book ever. Oh, and I was like, I'm buying it all because I love Mike Allred, and I loved his X Force, and I loved his Sandman issues, and just anything that I read from Mike Allred, I really liked.
Yeah.
So, not yet. I'm in the middle of reading. Well, I just read all the Saga stuff. Now I'm reading Manhattan Projects. And I love both of those. I'm really loving Manhattan Projects. I'm a big Hickman fan. So I think after that, I'm going to jump into Mad Men.
Well, one of the funny things in that book that I was reading, in like the Modern Masters book, there's a small spoiler in that in the very beginning of Mad Men, there's like a guy that tries to kill him, and he like knocks him out, and then straight up like pulls his eye out, pops it in his mouth. And it's like, considering that the whole series is really like kid friendly and fun, and like he had to like go back and reconcile this like crazy thing that happened in the first like 10 pages of the book that is not like anything else in the whole rest of the series.
He's like
he's got these powers that he sort of can like change people's minds, or he like, you know, kind of. So he's like, it might have happened, it might have just been this thing he made somebody see. Like, he had to reconcile that, because he came from, like, the books he did right before that were really, like, indie and sort of, like,
graphic.
Like, whatever the hell I want to do.
Right.
And then he had the scene that then he had to kind of contend with when he decided to make, like, he said the second series of Mad Men was pretty much him doing Tintin. So he had to reconcile.
And that was,
this,
like, the Dark Horse series?
Right before. There was one three-issue series, and then another three-issue series, and then the Dark Horse.
Yeah, it was when Dark Horse started publishing is when I got into it. And that was like in like 94, I think. And that, I was so into it. I bought the Madman doll that his mom would make.
Really?
And, like, send to people. Yeah. And I remember, because this was back, I would check out, this is back when like comic book creators had websites. Well, not that they don't have today, but this was at like start
comic
of
comic creators have websites?
This was at the start of it, and before social networking like Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. But I remember him putting up on his website that his mom had made these like Madman dolls, and you know, you could order them. And so I wrote her a check and sent that. And sadly, his mom passed away in the last year. And when he wrote that on his Facebook wall, I was like, oh, I still have the Madman doll that, you know, she sent to me when I was in college. Like, it's just like the coolest, cutest thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I own a page of his art.
Yeah, I do. I would love to own a page of his art. He will, actually, I was looking at his website.
The site that sells it, it's not super expensive.
To get a commission from him is not super expensive either, because it's a full page, like, cover quality commission. It'll run you about $1,000, which is not that much compared to what a lot of artists charge, you know, for something like that. And considering his stature, like how long he's been in the industry and just how amazing his art is too.
I bought a page from Madman that, the little like widget guys that would fly around the balls with the arms and stuff. Right. I bought one of the, a page that had those in it because when I was in high school, in my high school art class, we would have to do every Friday something called a Friday sketch. And I was really bad at it because I was really lazy and would procrastinate. And then like, and then one Friday, like I was just like, I'm going to copy this thing. And I totally drew like a ball with arms, like doing something.
Yeah.
My art teacher loved it. Like she like flipped out
right.
to the point that I later, like, you know, you graduate high school and you come back.
Yeah.
And then like, I talked to the art teacher and I had to fess up to basically copying this from something that already existed. But so when I was looking at pages that he had for sale and I saw one of those, I was like, well, this is the one I got to get.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got to be there. So
for some reason, your story reminds me of the squid and the whale. And what's his name? The rich man's Michael Cera, the guy from the Facebook movie.
Zuckerberg. No, that's the real Facebook guy. I don't know.
Who started the Facebook movie, Dave?
Jesse
Eisenberg.
There you go.
Not Zuckerberg. Who's the actual Facebook guy. Yeah, so Jesse Eisenberg in the Squid and the Whale at his school talent show does a Pink Floyd song and like wins the talent show.
And nobody knows it's
Pink Floyd because, you know, when it takes place. And then they find out and he basically gets like expelled from school. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert for an indie movie from like 8 years ago. But yeah, that just reminded me of that. So you made it out of high school without ever being caught.
That is true. No one was reading independent comics circa 1995.
Yeah. So don't steal from legendary rock bands. Steal from comic book artists. that's what we're learning.
So what did you guys read this week?
And, you know, it's funny because there's been a lot of traveling going on, so I haven't read many comics.
Oh, really?
I have been partaking in.
And
there's a baby.
What up, dude?
Yeah.
How are you, man?
Good. How are you?
We have babies on the podcast. Hey, Eddie.
Sorry.
What's going on?
We're podcasting.
Is a nerdcast happening?
Oh, mic check. Nerd one, nerd two, nerd three. Confirm.
This is exploding in my ear right now. listeners at home, I apologize about that. The studio audience is growing.
Yeah.
By leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
I love Nerdcast!
It's the Tuesday Night Comics podcast. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Tuesday Night Comics, same thing.
I'm glad you didn't drink it all while you were coughing. I'm really glad that you're keeping up your straight edgeness.
I could not believe the wind was like 30.
I know, we believe
that
Brian
was
sending out.
I believe.
You saw the picture, yeah.
Scott, I believe it because you're as good as putting a tent up on the beach as Kyle, as it turns out.
Oh, did it blow away that thing?
You walked in, you looked like Kramer. Your hair's like straight in there, you're like, whoa!
There was no way that thing was staying down.
Okay, back to the comics.
Are you sure about that?
Guys, we only have so much time here. We got to record Adam's Magic of the Gathering podcast right after this.
We've got to do the podcast after that.
The studio is booked.
The studio is booked for the podcast.
So,
I've been...
What were we talking about, Mike Allred?
No, what we're reading.
Oh, what were we reading? Yeah. Oh, I'm reading Fables Volume 19 right now, Snow White. Which is the most current Fables volume. And I just started it. It's doing a it's all about the Wizard of Oz. Ron, get out.
What do you have?
Scott.
Hey.
Yeah. We really are recording.
Yeah.
All right. Emma, let's go in the pool.
So, I'm reading right now Fables Volume 19, which is the most current Fables volume. I picked that up actually at a local thrift store, which I was very surprised about because it's like a $20 book. They had it for $4. I'm like, this is cheaper than Comixology. And I absolutely love Fables. Did you read Fables, Nick?
I stopped around issue 75.
5.
Okay. Wait, not see it through.
Well, that was when he was supposed to stop it originally. Yeah. That was the point it was gonna stop.
The
book was actually like supposed to go till the end of the war, and then he realized he had like a cash cow in his hands and kept it going.
Really? Well, so, yeah. I was kind of joking because I do find it like too much. Like I read maybe like the first 7 volumes, and then I was like, meh. I'm out, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
There didn't seem to be an end in sight.
The war, and then the issue afterwards, which, to tie it back, was drawn by Mike Allred. It was like a wrap-up.
An epilogue.
Well, it was an epilogue, but then also, like, jumping off, like, we can keep going. That was a really good issue. But, I read pretty much through there and then kind of fell off. Yeah. But I have been reading within the last week. I've been doing a saga reread with what you were saying.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I hadn't read, I'm 2 issues behind, so I haven't read those yet, but I brought them to the beach to read at the beach.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I just bought the volume 2 and 3, and I had read volume 1 a while back when we met Brian Caban.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And
you were there for that one.
I was there.
Yeah. So,
Sneak attacked.
Yeah. I actually didn't meet him that time because I had to go do an interview and I had to like leave the line.
Oh yeah, and your friend. It wasn't a line. It was when he like went to the image booth and was just signing.
Right.
Your friend Chris.
Yes.
He had gotten us Kirkman's autograph or whatever, and like I just happened to walk past and see this bald guy sketching. I was like, is that Brian? And he was like, yes, that's him. And so I just, like, went up and handed it. Because nobody was waiting in line.
Wow.
He was just, like, chit-chatting.
And he was sketching?
He wasn't sketching. He was signing. Okay. But he was there, and we didn't have to get a ticket for it. So it was worth it.
Did you just pour beer into Nick's rum?
No, it was empty. Okay. I asked Brian to fill up my rum, and he drank it and then made a face. So...
Nice, Brian.
And then he brought us over. So, but by that point,
that's Brian, co-host of the Bill and Brian Show, my other podcast in my empire,
part of the Hanahan podcast.
Part of the Tuesday Night Movies empire.
But yeah, so I've been rereading Saga and remembering how awesome of a book it is.
Oh, I love the book. I've
only read through the first what would be the first trade, so I had been buying them in single issues.
You are doing yourself a job.
Well, I bought the Image Humble Bundle, which included I think the first 2 trades of Saga, and I just haven't had a chance to go through them yet.
But it kind of amazes me because like this book has been selling really well pretty much since it came out.
Yeah.
But so they'll do like 6 issues and then take a couple months off, and then without fail, the first book back like sells out and they have to do like multiple prints.
Right.
And like they just did this on like the 19th issue, which is the start of the next arc. And I'm like, at this point, people should know to order a lot.
I remember one of the comic shops in New York City actually like, allocated them to like limit 1 per customer for Saga 19. And I was like, somebody die in this issue?
It's just the first one back. There's no reason on earth why you should have a second printing of a 19th issue.
Right. Well, you know what I think it is?
Like, you should know.
I think, you know how like, you have like Harry Potter, no one read, well, not no one, but a couple of people read the first one and then they passed around and then it got bigger. And then by the last one, everybody was reading it. And I think it's kind of like that with Saga where like people will pass around, this is good. And because they're doing it in spurts, I think then people are like, oh, this is where I get my fix. And there's more people than they expected every time.
But they keep getting... I don't know. I just feel like 19 is a really...
Maybe they've stumbled upon a way of doing comics that works. Like hold off a little. And make people want it and need it. And it's not that far away from you getting it. And then when you do release it, everyone's like, I need it now!
Well, I think it's just so weird how Image in general has become this like juggernaut of like...
Good
super
writing,
quality books.
Writing and art.
It's. I mean, it's almost.
It's the flip of the 90s.
Yeah.
Because Marvel and Image in the 90s were like, oh, they got some good stuff.
It's shitty for the most part.
And it was like DC and Vertigo, and like a bunch of indie companies. But yeah, that's so true. Because right now DC has like a handful, not even a handful. I'd say like There are not many DC books I'm still buying.
I feel like
is amazing because you are like, you are the Batman fan. You know, I'm the Spider-Man fan. Dave's the Superman fan. You are the Batman fan.
Like, I like Scott Snyder's Batman. I don't know. Like, it's.
I was not a fan of them.
I don't like any of their books that I've read.
I like Jeff Johns' books, and he usually has good artists on them, so yeah. that's always good.
Yeah.
And I've been following Jeff Johns since he started on Star Spangled Kid way back
right.
in the 90s, and it's been cool to like follow him through his career. And other than that, I feel like I start loving a book, and then they're like, oh, yeah, and we're changing the creative team. Yeah,
everything you loved about this book is now changing.
Yeah, like, Jeff Lemire on Green Arrow was awesome. I don't know if you read that
book. I haven't read them, but I like him a lot.
Yeah, and he worked with a great artist on that. And I was like, yeah, this is going to be awesome. I hope it goes for a long time. And they're like, and we're changing it to TV writers. Well, that sounds interesting because it's
like Arrow TV writers?
Two writers.
So I was like, that's kind of interesting because they're trying to sync up their properties and that kind of stuff. That's interesting on a different level. But I was like, Lemire was doing some awesome stuff. And I was kind of bummed. And I kind of feel like that is the way I've been going with DC Comics, where I'm like, I'm excited about this. They're leaving.
I wonder if that might have been his call too, because he was on that book for a few years. He was on that book for 2 years, right?
About 2 years.
Yeah, right. And I think at like right now, 2 years for a creator is a good amount of time.
Yeah,
like no one seems to be doing Marv Wolfman, George Perez-esque runs on books anymore.
Yeah,
you've got Bendis on Ultimate Spider-Man. And currently, like, Slott on Amazing Spider-Man, but with the exception of those two, I can't really think of other creators who would last longer than a few years.
Well, that's John's also part of the reason I've been
I feel like Johns always does, Jeff Johns does a...
Yeah, he's been on Justice League since the beginning, but he's basically, and you know, yeah, and that's true, when he was on Green Lantern, he was on it for a decade.
And, I mean, his Justice Society run, though he took a couple breaks...
That was what, 80 issues?
He was on that for 80 issues, and then... restarted as, you know, it was JSA, and then he restarted as Justice Society, and I mean, he was on that for a while.
Speaking of Jeff Johns, I just read Aquaman Volume 4 Death of a King, which is the storyline that followed Throne of Atlantis in the Aquaman book.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. This is the first post-Ivan Reis storyline, and I kind of just dropped off Aquaman as soon as Ivan Reis left, and I now wish I'd stayed with it. Paul Pelletier's art was awesome. And what was really cool looking at the art was seeing how much of a difference Rod Rice makes as a colorist, because in the hardcover, they had the regular cover of each issue and then either the pencils only variant or like the pen and ink variant. And even like the pencils only variant made me convinced that that Paul Pelletier was not being surfaced by his inker, because his pencils, I thought, looked amazing.
Oh, really?
As opposed to, like, once it was inked, a little less so. But then Rod Rice's coloring work made the inked version just into, like, a so much more beautiful image. Like, it's amazing how deep his color work is, yeah. And the storyline is great. It's about the original King of Atlantis, you know, without giving away the major twist of the story, this basic zombie king comes back, and he was the one who founded Atlantis back when Atlantis was above the water, but now he's the big bad guy in the story arc. And it was really cool. It much better than I thought it would be. I definitely recommend people read it.
Yeah, I enjoyed that, and Jeff Parker takes over for Jeff Johns, and Paul Pelletier stays on as the artist.
Okay. And Aquaman?
Yeah. And still great, great book.
Yeah, Jeff Johns leaving Aquaman. He's been hinting that he might do a JSA book.
I would love it. That is.
Dave runs a website called NewEarth2.com. So
Dave has taken probably because I've just bought a house. I have not spent much time on the internet. So
Dave is planning a wedding, starting a new job, and moved
in the past year.
Yeah.
So,
Dave has become a grown-up, and he will no longer be reading comics.
Sorry, I'm leaving the podcast.
Yeah, this is Dave signing off right now.
So the podcast is going to be Billy talking about all the comics he's reading.
That was an episode a couple of weeks ago when Dave was on vacation.
That's the one that we were supposed to do, but then your internet was broken and you did it in your car, which I took to mean, sorry.
I recorded that.
I don't really have time for this.
Oh, whoops. yeah. Did someone just try to beat down this door?
I think a small child was thrown through the door.
So, that episode was, that was completely my fault. We ended up doing something that destroyed our modem in our house. It no longer worked.
Porn?
No, we were just trying to upgrade our router, which somehow killed our modem.
Then he did it in the car.
Yeah, so I had to record it in the car, but unfortunately...
Did you get a lot of shirtless pictures of Brian?
I have seen too many shirtless pictures of Brian today. I had to record that. I had no internet connection. I couldn't go to a local cafe and use their internet connection to record a podcast, because I'd be like, oh, you're enjoying your coffee? So, Nick, what comics did you read this week, Nick? no one can hear this, right? So I had to record it in my car, basically just talking to myself. I figured it would be maybe half the length of a normal episode. Nope, it actually went longer.
That's fine.
Who would have thought that you would have enjoyed talking to yourself so much?
It turns out it's not that you guys spur on the conversation, but you rein me in, which is probably a very good
thing. We cut you off.
Yeah. I'm not saying that episode was terrible, but I'm not saying it was the best episode either.
I listened to that episode. Usually I only listen to the first, 10 or so minutes.
Just to make sure that it recorded.
Well, I like to hear, how I sound a little bit.
Right.
But that's about it.
I don't ever want to know how I sound.
Oh, really? You have a sexy voice.
I know, but it's for everybody else, not for me.
Yeah, I'm a married man.
I save it for the fans.
Nice,
really.
Nice. That's very good of you. Yeah, so is anybody else reading anything else? Or have you had any comic news jump out in your face in the past few days?
I have two things. Number one, I just last night on eBay purchased a set of the colored Akira series from the 80s, 90s Epic put out.
Yeah.
And I read Akira a billion years ago, but I've seen through Tumblr and random stuff, people will post color pages from it, and it looks awesome because it was one of the first things that Steve Olyf did, I guess, before he kind of exploded with
comic craft.
Ollie Optics.
Oh, okay.
But he did Spawn and all that, that, so I'm really excited to read those in color.
Oh, nice.
And I forget my other thing. Oh no.
Well, they did it now.
Cameron Stewart Batgirl.
Batgirl design is the coolest costume in the new 52 right now.
All of a sudden, for all of our DC shit talking, I was they have made a Batgirl comic that looks like girls would actually want to read it.
Right.
Yeah. Even though Gail Simone is great, but still.
Yeah.
But, it's greater than... It could have been Scott Lobdell. Nice! There we go!
Lobdell will never agree to be on this podcast.
I actually read a thing online where it was how long do we have before people start, not noticing that that's actually a leather jacket that she's wearing, and they just, make her have, a boob shirt.
Huh.
People don't know how to do things.
I have read World's Finest, because I've loved JSA and Earth 2 books since I was, probably around eight.
Yeah.
I've always just really wanted to love World's Finest as it is now.
Okay.
And I've talked about it before. Paul Levitz and George Perez and who's the other artist who started on it? The Giffen DeMatteis, who's the artist on...
Or Kevin Maguire.
Kevin Maguire. And those were great books
those
in
were
the
great.
Beginning.
Yeah.
And then it just... turned into fill-in issues for 10 issues,
right?
And now they're finally back on Earth 2, and I'm yes, all right, this is gonna be a good issue, and Paul Levitz is gonna be able to write something that will let him do something,
right?
And guess what,
they announced that the series is ending, or he's leaving.
Well, no, he's not leaving.
Okay.
It's switching to a Batman Superman book.
Okay.
Of a prequel Earth 2, Earth 2 Batman Superman, before the world ended. But
yeah,
horrible art. Like, it was the art from, you know those comic books that have the fairy tales, the Grimm's fairy tales with the slutty like the characters?
Yes. The Zenoscope comic?
Tony Daniel? David Finch?
No, yeah, the Zenoscope. I mean, what? No, I'm not familiar with that.
Jim Ballen?
I'm just...
Jim
Ballen.
No, it's not Jim Ballen.
Zenoscope artists are definitely inspired by Jim Ballen, though.
But yeah, it's those like really slutty like fairy tale characters.
Yeah.
That's what the whole book looked like. They were in t-shirts and there were like hard lines like creasing their boobs. And I was like, okay, this looks like you're trying to make them look slutty. Also,
why does have
you
have
ever
boobs?
Seen a girl naked?
That's the thing. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like the New 52 was basically like, hey, we don't know what girls look like.
That's funny that have you ever seen a girl naked line? I remember back when Dave Cockrum was still alive, his wife Patty Cockrum at a comic book convention holding up a John Byrne drawn X-Men issue and yelling, John Byrne has definitely never seen a woman naked before. Have you noticed that every character looks like a blow-up doll? Storm is clearly a blow-up doll here.
That's funny because I was like... impressionable youth, and John Byrne was like my go-to like sexy lady drawer guy.
Which is why Nick has a collection of blow-up dolls.
No.
Oh, I'm just kidding. You know he doesn't, or he might. I really don't know. I haven't been to Nick's house yet.
That's right. You never come and visit.
Yeah, I know. I'm a terrible friend. Even for this vacation, you came here.
I had to meet you halfway.
You came to a house I rented as opposed to me coming to a house that your family owns.
That's exactly what is happening.
I mean, so, you know, if you're going to take anything away from this episode, listeners, that's Billy's a terrible friend.
That's what I'm taking away from.
Yeah, there was just like silence after that. I was like, wow, everybody's just taking that in.
Dave, would you like to come see my family's beach house?
Oh, I'd love to.
That'd be awesome.
You know, yeah. He actually invited you. I was never invited.
I'll bring my fiance. It'd be great. Yeah.
Cooking a little food, having a nice time.
That's wonderful.
It's good.
Wow.
Whatever. I've got like 5 more podcasts I have to record.
I wasn't supposed to watch anything before coming to this, was I?
It's hard to be a poor man's Chris Hardwick.
Just ask Chris Hardwick.
Oh, that's me. I like Chris Hardwick.
It doesn't sound like he's doing that bad anymore.
I'm not a poor man's Chris Hardwick. I'm like the poverty line Chris Hardwick.
We all hate it when our friends become successful. Morrissey.
It should be...
You're friends with Chris Hardwick.
Yeah. Have you heard him? That's all he talks about on his podcast.
Is he at your house right now?
The line should be, it's hard to be a middle class Chris Hardwick. On that note.
Okay. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in this week. We are coming to you live from the Tuesday Night Comics Beach House, and we might come to you live from here one more time. It all depends on how our production schedule works out and whether or not we drink too many pina coladas to operate the computers.
Woo!
So, signing off, I'm Billy.
I'm Dave.
I'm Nick.
And thanks again for listening. Enjoy your comics this week, everybody. Where is the audio on here?
So your wife okayed the new the cover image of the Tuesday Night Podcast.
That's funny. Why? Now that's weird. It played the music and it has audio here, but I don't see anything coming out.
Did we have to re-record?
I don't think we do. I just don't understand. Like, 'cause look.